Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Father, we look on Christ the healer. We gaze upon Christ the healer. He heals us of everything. We stare at him. We gaze on him with an ever increasing and fixation on Christ who took our infirmities, bore our sicknesses, took all of our mental oppression. He took it all. He took our peace. The chastisement of our peace was on Jesus. And we gaze upon that. We look upon that. And we receive that from you, Father, in Jesus' name. What a wonderful, wonderful God you are. Thank you for healing us, giving us soundness of mind, blessing us in every area of life. Glory be to God. We worship you. Hallelujah. We worship a great God, a wonderful God. Hallelujah. You've delivered us from all the power of the devil. Oh, Jesus is Lord. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. We've been talking about obtaining a sound mind. Who needs a sound mind? Not me. I like my mind to be scattered all over. No, are you kidding me? In God, there's a sound mind. More sound than you've ever thought. More sound than you've ever had. You know what I mean? What could be more sound than something built on the bedrock of what everything is built on? God's word. Nothing can shake that. Right? Everything will pass away, but God's word won't. You get that in your head? You got rocks in your head. I know. The rock of God's word. I want you to see that there's a snap that can happen in somebody's mind. And it comes just like somebody can snap mentally. We know this, right? What happened to them? They're drooling on themselves. They're walking down the road and they're living out of a bag. That's not you. What happened to that person? Something snapped. We've seen them. We know some of them. Something snapped, man. What snapped? And we saw it in the king there. Right? The ruler. He snapped and he was out. He lived like an animal for 7 years. Something snapped. Well, just the same way at the end of that story, it snapped back. Right. Restored. That's the actual, the moral of the story. You know how they give a moral? They give a little story. At the end, that's the good part. Not all the other stuff. But there is a snapping back. Thank God. I've snapped back. I used to be crazy. Brother, you still are. No. You come in from some of the stuff that some of us have come in. Some of you can testify this. You came in from a drug background or something. You needed to get snapped back. And sometimes, unfortunately, the snap back isn't nearly as quick as you wanted it to be. Is it? It takes a while. But it's permanent. When you get it God's way, it's permanent. And then nothing will shake you. And that's what we're doing here. Anybody game for this? Yeah. Hallelujah. But there is life in God's word. There's soundness of mind in God's word. Purpose here is, well, an anointing in the message come through so that the words that will be spoken will actually help somebody. Even if it's not you, it will help somebody to be delivered in their mind. That's got to be the worst thing. You could be sitting in a garden full of roses with a lovely family around you. Got everything made and people still think they want to kill themselves because it's just darkness. That's just not normal, is it? And then it just gets worse if everything's not going well. It's just another excuse. And Jesus was tempted in all manners as we were. Because I made a statement last week that Jesus was tempted with suicide. Well, he had to have been. He was tempted in all manners. Well, are people tempted with suicide? Doesn't look like a good temptation to me, but sometimes if everything is so dark that looks like the only way out, that's a temptation. Well, go this way. Pick door number 2. Just check out. And sometimes things look so bad and so dark, that looks like it's the only way, but it's not the only way. Jesus bore that same temptation. He went through it too. There had to have been a point, especially when he was up there 40 days and 40 nights, when that looked like the way to go. If I could just get out of this pressure, if I could just get out of this thing that's on me. He was bearing that temptation. The devil said, well, throw yourself off. It'll be all over. Besides, angels will catch up. It was a temptation to kill himself. Well, brother, you're stretching it. I don't think so. He was tempted with the same thing like you are. Well, I've never been tempted. Well, you've been tempted with something. He was tempted in that same situation. He overcame it. So where's the solution? In him. The solution to overcome it, it's not in yourself. It's not in your own willpower. We need a willpower meeting, brother. We can strengthen up our minds and our wills. No, you need to have your eyes on him so that he can deliver you from that. He's already borne it. What are you going to bear it for then? Be like sickness. They lifted up the serpent on the post and said to stare at it, until they saw their sickness on the post instead of on them. It's the same thing. Jesus bore your problem. He bore your mental situation. He bore it. Some of these things just need to die in your head. That's what needs to die. Not you, but those thoughts. And there's a way to crucify it. There's a way. Jesus already bore it. He bore that. I'm excited about this. People are going to get delivered. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray right now. We thank you for your holy written word. We thank you for the anointing and power that is in the word to deliver people, to set people straight, to have them repent and turn from and to you so their minds can be clean by the word you have spoken to them. Right now, I take authority over Satan. Satan, I take authority over you in Jesus' name. I command you to take your hold off people's minds so they can hear the word. And I thank you, Holy Ghost, for entering into people's ears and down into their hearts. Let them see the word and hear the word so that they can be converted and you can heal them in their mind. In Jesus' name, I believe I receive it. I thank you for it. Amen. You know, we can pray God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You going to be crazy when you get to heaven? So that means we can have that right now on this earth. Soundness of mind, his kingdom in your mind. Glory be to God forever. James 1:21. You ready for this? Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. And last week I went in through and explained to you that there's three parts of you. The real you, which is what? Your spirit man, that's the real you, created in the image of God, looks just like Jesus, got everything you need on the inside. Then we've got our what? Our mind. And that's where people get messed up, was with their mind, because their mind's not in submission to their spirit, or it hasn't been renewed with the word of God. But it's not the real you. It would like to think it's the real you, but it's not. It's very arrogant. It's been used to being in control. It likes to make the decisions. Well, when you made Jesus Lord, guess what came off of the lordship? Your head. Your head's now got to be put into subjection to something else. Number one, the word of God. Submit your mind to the word of God. And that's where we're going today, because if you can do that and learn how to do that, right here, this verse said, it will save your soul, your mind, your mental parts, which is your will, your emotions, and your memories. You think, you know, you got memories that are bad. Brother, you don't know what I did. And I don't want to. And you don't know what I did. And you don't want to. Right? Amen, brother. Is there forgiveness in the blood of Jesus? When you start submitting your mind to the forgiveness of the blood of Jesus, what starts to happen? Your conscience becomes cleansed. We have illustration, maybe I'll go into this at a later date, where Paul said, I've done wrong to no man. No man! Paul! You were stoning people, dragging Christians off, having them put in prison. You did no wrong to any man. How could he say that? The blood. cleansed his mind. He became a new man. He must have really embraced this whole new man thing. You could call it Holy Ghost brainwashing. Literally. What happened to you? I've been brainwashed. Look at me. Brainwashed by the word of God. Washing's good, right? What if you had a shirt that you wore? I would do this. If you had a shirt that you really liked, if my wife didn't wash it, I'd wear the same shirt, probably the same jeans, every day. Wayne's looking at me. That's disgusting. I'm going to have to talk to you about that. I would wear the same shirt, same pants, every day, but give it, you know, like 3 months. That's going to be one nasty set of clothes you're wearing. Washing's good. Washing good? Washing's good. You think washing is good for your mind? Clean all that garbage out? Are you kidding me? All kinds of garbage in there. Unforgiveness, stupid thoughts, bad memories. Where do you think these memories exist? Do they exist in God? Does he keep reminding you of this stuff?
By the way, Patrick, remember on the 4th last year, you really blew it.
No, you got to remind me. I forgot what I did. No, God does not remind you. He renews your mind. He washes it away, forgets it all like never happened. Glory be to God forever. So what about you? You don't know what I did? That's why I don't care. God doesn't care what you did. As long as you repent and you turn, and he'll cleanse that memory to the point where it seems like it was somebody else. You could tell me certain things that I did when I was a young kid, especially before I got saved, and it'd be like, that's another person. That person died. I don't even know what you're talking about. No, you were there. No, I wasn't. That's the renewing of the mind. You embrace what God said about you, and you stick it in your head, and you scrub it around in there. What if you got a really soiled spot in one corner? What are you going to do? Scrub it. Scrub it. The more soiled it is, the more scrubbing it needs. But I want an easy fix, man. Just lay your hands on my head and cleanse my mind. No, you don't need that. What you need to do is get some of God's Holy Ghost soap in your head and have it to start scrubbing on there. Hallelujah. And it doesn't matter how dirty it was. The blood of Jesus will cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. I wouldn't be, you know, if I had to carry all of my baggage from before, I would be up here before you, you know. I don't carry any of that baggage. But if people brought it up, it'd be like, I'm forgiven. Because I have a knowledge of the word that shows me that I'm completely forgiven of everything. As soon as you say, Jesus, I make you Lord, please forgive me of my past. It's gone. You better not ask him that if you wanted to keep on to it. Hold on to some of it, because it is gone and he doesn't remember it. And we shouldn't bring it up either to other people, right? Well, now what about your mind? What's your mind going to do? And what's the devil going to do if you let him? He's going to remind you every day how worthless and miserable you are, how terrible it is. The sun's shining, but it's dark. It's dark inside. No, it's not. Shut up, Mr. Devil. I'm washing my mind with the word. I'm renewing my mind with the word. And now the word has become my thoughts. And it's all good. Glory be to God forever. I know from whence I came. Did I read that? I think I did, but I'm going to read it again. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. So he's just telling the pastor to do this for you. What's he saying to do? Lay it aside. That's the first step, isn't it? If you were doing something that was stupid and really got you in trouble, stop doing it. Carlene, pay attention. No. Stop doing it. Lay it aside. Right? The first step, lay it aside. And then receive with meekness, not arrogance, with meekness, the engrafted word which is going to cleanse your mind from the fact that you ever even did that. You live in a different reality. You live above that now. You live by the word. You got the word in your head. You live by a greater power, a greater force. Hallelujah. Romans 1, 28. Jesus is Lord. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Huh. Even as they did not like to retain God in their mind, in their knowledge. They didn't want anything to do with Him in their mind. They didn't like it. We have people that do that today. And they're getting the same thing. They're turned over to a reprobate mind. So what's the key here? You're going on the opposite side of this. We want to retain God in our knowledge. Then God will redeem us and snap us back from a reprobate mind. Remember the king? He was out there, and until he had knowledge of God, he was going to be out there. But as soon as he started to start considering, that's where it comes from. A lot of people, they'll just all of a sudden consider, well, maybe God is real. Maybe he does love me. Well, all of a sudden, something starts to seep back in. Some of that truth starts to come back in their mind. Then snaps back in the right direction. So the key is retaining God in your mind. And is that easy? Not all the time. Especially when your mind is confused and is trying to run all over the place. What are you going to do about it? Your mind. You must retain God. The knowledge of God in your head. Hallelujah. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate, worthless, refused mind to do those things which were not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. My goodness. Let's come up with a worse list. I don't know if you could. Where did this start, though? Where did it start? By not retaining the knowledge of God. Retaining, meaning you've got to hold on to it and retain it. This is really just laying a foundation, showing you how people get in these situations. Even Christians, do you know that? Christians, born again people, if they don't want to retain the knowledge of God because sometimes it's difficult, then they end up going the other way and they slide all over and they backslide. And then they turn into these backbiters. And whisperers. Oh, brother. Whisperers in the church? Oh, they're in every church. Except this one. Hallelujah. We're renewing our minds. Titus 1:15. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving nothing is pure. But even their what? Their mind and conscience is defiled. It's gone too far, hasn't it? It's gone too far. They've allowed this to defile their mind and their conscience. That's pitiful. And we have this in the church. We have people doing this. This isn't just outside people. This is people in the church not retaining. What is the knowledge of God? His word. His word. You retain the knowledge of His word in your mind. You're just doing what the Bible's telling you to do. You're retaining that knowledge, His word, in your mind, thinking what He says about you. When your mind wants to wander off somewhere else, no, you retain it. You retain that knowledge. You hold it back. You say, no, I'm not thinking that. Otherwise, you end up a reprobate. He says, defiled and unbelieving. Nothing is pure. Even their mind and conscience is defiled. That doesn't sound good. Look over to 2 Timothy 3:8. Jesus is Lord. now as Janus and Jambres, withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. So what did they do? They resisted the truth. They didn't like retaining it. Retain it. You got to retain it. You hold it in there. They didn't want to retain it. They resisted the truth.
I don't want to hear that.
What happened to them? They withstood Moses. They resisted the truth. They got a corrupt mind. Reprobate concerning the faith. Hallelujah. Do you want to be reprobate concerning the faith? It begins by retaining the knowledge of God's word in your mind. Why? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. The word of God is the key. By getting the word and listening to the word and hearing the word, your mind gets cleansed, it gets renewed, it gets a bath. It gets washed and clean. Glory be to God forever. Brother, but I don't want to listen to the word night and day. Well, what do you want? This is what the word says to do. And if you'll do this, you will have the result that the word says you will have. Right? A renewed mind. Retaining the knowledge of God. Retaining the wonderful thing that he did. He delivered you already. He healed you already. If this functions in every area of life, this is the word of faith that we preach. If you retain the knowledge of Jesus bearing your stripes in his body, you like that. You retain that. You give place to that in your mind. Eventually, it will dawn on your spirit and snap, healing takes place. When you retain the knowledge that he bore your poverty and he bore the chastisement of your peace, where's your peace? It's in your mind. He took the chastisement of your peace. He bore it. When you retain that in your mind long enough, snap, you come right back. And you have the peace that he obtained for you. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Romans 8, verse 5. And it said they resisted the faith. They didn't like retaining God, and they resisted the faith. You don't want to resist the faith. You want to increase in faith. You want your faith to grow and bloom, because all good things come to you through that vehicle. Hallelujah. Romans. Eight, verse five. Hallelujah. For they that are after the flesh do what? Mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit do the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Do you want life? Do you want peace? You're going to have to be spiritually minded. You're going to have to grab onto these things of the Spirit that are for your mind and put them in there and hold on to them. And don't let them go. Keep them there. Keep them there. They're going to try to run off. Well, tough. That's the problem with our heads. They've not been disciplined like they should be. In fact, some of us were very undisciplined with our minds. Remember the 60s? It's just free flowing, man. Think whatever you want to think. Look at the pretty colors. Just flow with it. In the sunset. And the free love. And all this stuff, what do we do? Not me. Patrick, no. But you, what did we do? We had a discipline of undisciplinedness in our heads. We just let them go. And you meet some of these people that never came out of that. And I've met some. And it looks like their mind has gone. They had one at one time. Now they're like, I know you. Yeah, we went to school together. What's your name? I knew that once too. Well, what had happened? He let his mind go. There was no discipline there. So that's why this is so difficult at times for people who've just let their mind go. Now they got to get it back in. It's used to going all over the place. Are you people still here? They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Think about it. If you're going in a fleshly way, you're yielding to fleshly things. Where's your mind at? It's in the flesh. Hello, looking on the pornography on the internet. Where's your mind?
Oh, on spiritual things, brother.
No. Your mind is in the gutter. It's on fleshly things. You can't please God. It corrupts your mind. Do you know your mind can be corrupted? Does it not? It corrupts your mind. You'll get to the point where you can't even think about looking at something. Because you'll feel like a dirty spot in your head. And you go, get out of my head. And then you go and you get some of that spiritual soap that we were just talking about. And you go and you scrub that little section. Make it all nice and clean again. Hallelujah. Because I hate evil thoughts. You get to the point where you're disciplined and your mind just despises those things anymore. Where you used to enjoy it. But now it's like, ew. It's corruption. You're going to love holiness and hate corruption. Despise it. Because you love the Holy Ghost. And his first name is Holy. Hallelujah. This sounds like work, brother. I'm telling you, it is. But it gets to be easy after a while. Like I said, if you got a really dirty mind. Believe me, you're just sitting here, so I keep looking at it. You got a really dirty mind, all right? Then it's going to take some extra cleaning. We understand this in the natural, but put it in the spirit. No, it's just different. No, Jesus used natural examples to explain how it is. I'm telling you, I had to clean my mind, and I had to get in the Word. I walked around 24 hours a day with a tape recorder with preaching on it for years and years, 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 because I had to get my mind flipped back over so it was thinking right. You might have to do the same thing. How much do you want your soundness of mind? How much do you want that peace that passes all understanding? It passes all understanding. How much do you want it? Then pay the price. Nobody's withholding it from you. Just we just happen to end up messing ourselves up. But there's forgiveness. And there's cleansing in the blood. It's a good deal. Good deal. I'm going to take your whole past that you've obviously destroyed. And I'm going to wipe it away. And you know, and God will even take the good things out of it and give it back to you. He does that. Did I read all that? So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Why? Because their mind is after the flesh. It's after the things of the flesh. The first fleshly thing that comes by. Oh, where's your mind? It's trained to go in that direction. The friends call you up and, hey, they start talking the party language and you're like, yeah, I'll be right there. Without even knowing it. Your mouth just did that because you were trained. It's like riding a bicycle. It's like riding an evil bicycle. You probably couldn't get on a bike and make yourself just spill over now. Have you tried to do that? Get on a bike and just act like you did the first time you got on a bike. Why is that? Because you've trained yourself to go in that direction. It'll be the same way in the spirit. You'll train yourself to go in that direction. You can just follow am I making sense here? Because you've trained yourself that way. The same way you've trained yourself in the evil realm or in the things of the flesh and your body just wants to go that way without thinking about it, you can train yourself in the spirit to go in that way. First time something comes up that seems a little weird, you start praying in tongues. Just automatically. You don't even have to tell yourself. Why? Because you've been training yourself to do that all the time. When it seems like, oh, I don't know how I'm going to make it financially. Immediately, your mouth doesn't go, I don't know how I'm going to make it. No, you stop it. You've trained yourself to say, my God supplies all my need. According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, the Lord my God teaches me to profit, leads me in the way that I should go. I'm always in the right place at the right time. Hallelujah. You really believe that? I do. I'm just stupid enough to believe it. And I've trained myself that way. These are the first things that come out. And if something else tries to come out, I immediately shut it down. But I didn't get there overnight. And you won't either. You know, some of you are there. You know, it doesn't happen overnight. It's training. It's discipline. Got the Olympics coming up. You think these people just, I'm a born swimmer. Well, webbed toes and webbed hands. I can swim. Yeah, I don't care if you do have webbed toes and webbed. You're still going to have to train. You're still going to have to know how to swim. You could be born with webbed toes and webbed hands, just drown. That'd be ridiculous. Swimmer drowns first day. You didn't come to sissy church, by the way. And God's not going to tell you to do something you can't do. That would be unjust. And he's not going to do that. If he's saying you can do it, you can do it. If he's saying this is the way to do it, this is the way to do it, and you can do it. Hallelujah. Romans 6, 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness and unto holiness. Ever see people just swear? It comes out. It's like every descriptive word that they don't use anymore, they've replaced it with a swear word. Look at that swear car. That swear dog. I mean, that's what they describe everything with. What has happened to them? And they don't even know. If you ask them, you question them, some of them, you question them, you go, do you have to say that?
Say what?
That thing you just said, you're using it every other sentence. What? What are you talking about? They'll say, what swear are you talking about? And they still don't hear it. Why is that? They've yielded themselves to that so much that it's become part of what they do and who they are, and they don't even know they're doing it anymore. They've yielded their member, and this is what your body, the Bible calls your member, is your tongue, to iniquity so much, it's trained to go in that direction. But what does he say here? He says, as you used to yield, for as you have, in the past tense, yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness, or right standing with God, and unto holiness. Now the other member that you have, it's not the real you, it's a part of you, it's your mind. You're going to yield it to righteousness. You're going to yield it to thinking right. You're going to yield it to what God said about you. And stop thinking all that other stuff. It's a lie. You're going to yield. Well, God said that I'm forgiven. Then your mind is saying, you're not forgiven. You're a loser. No, I'm a winner. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Your mind says, oh, you're sick. You can't do it. You're weak. You're confused. And I'm not confused. God's not the author of confusion. Right. And you're going to start yielding your mind to thinking like God thinks. And God says in his word. Did he just tell you to do this, or am I making this up? Even so now, yield your members, plural, servants to righteousness unto holiness. You can do it. You can do it. Or God's lying, or he's unjust. But he said, even as you did it in the past, and some of us did it more than others. Even as. Why? Because the reciprocal is true. If you've come out of so much junk, then you're going to have to go into so much cleanliness and holiness to get rid of all that junk. That's why you'll see some people, they just turn to extreme fanatics overnight. Some people that never did anything, Mrs. Purity. Holier than thou, she was raised that way. And I'm not knocking that. She didn't ever do anything. So when she gets converted or believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't look like a whole much of difference, does it? She was living that way anyway. Still needed to get saved. But she just made the step over. The transition didn't look like much. But somebody that comes out of hell, fully covered with tattoos, still riding a motorcycle, smells like hell in the back. Flames still burning all over them. When they get converted, it's a big deal. And you see that they go, where do they go? It's in extreme the other way. They have to. They must. He that's forgiven of much loves much. He that's forgiven of little loves little. I think God gets a kick out of those people, personally. I can hear people's minds getting set free. What's it sound like? Well, it's like a crackling sound. It's a snap. Yeah, it's right. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2. I'll read verse 1. And in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repent. This is the definition, the Greek word for repent. To think differently. And every time that it's used, repent, it means to turn away and think differently. Are you repenting? Are you thinking differently? When you turn away, remember, you've been yielding your members in the wrong way. Now, obviously, you're repenting. You stop doing that, and you start thinking differently about yourself. Brother, you just seem to think so much differently than what I remember. Yes, because I've repented. Now I think what? What are we going to start thinking? The Word of God, what the Word says. This is exciting. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds. Now, what did he blind? Where's the devil's playground? It's the mind. He's got to blind your mind. If he can get people and blind their mind, then God has a hard time getting his word through to them. If our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. What I want you to see here is, what is he trying to blind? Your mind. And unfortunately, we have Christians that are in the same situation. They just let the devil blind them from the greater truths of God's word. But this is where a lot of people are, and they'll let tradition and all these other things say that, oh, I can't be delivered to that. Healing's not for today. Tongues are not for today. Blah, 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 blah. The gifts are not for today. They're blinded. Where? In their mind. So what's the key? To deliver somebody from the blindness that's in their mind. It's really no big deal. Brother, what do you mean it's no big deal? Because we have power over all the power of the enemy. He's just working in that realm. And if we'll do what he said to do, which is what? Retain the knowledge of God in our mind, he loses. That's the nature of the devil, to be a loser. That's why he tries to make losers out of people. He's just creating people in his own image. Right? He came to kill, steal, and destroy. So what does he try to get people to do? Kill, steal, and destroy. He's trying to recreate them in his own image. What is God doing? He's coming in, breaking the power of the devil, getting you to renew your mind so you look like him. Yeah. A Christian, a little Christ, one walking around with a renewed mind in the power of the Holy Ghost. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them. Did it say blinded their spirit? Did it say it snuffed them out? And this is why you can have Christians, people that have already believed the gospel. They've already confessed the lordship of Jesus. And he'll still come in and try to snuff them out. Where? In their mind. You're not the only one. This is what he does to everybody. And it's the most difficult right at the beginning, because then he can bring up all those memories and you don't have the tools you need to beat him off with. Then you grow up a little bit. Pretty soon you go, wait a minute. He's lying to me. I can beat this down. The blood of Jesus has cleansed me from my whole past, and my mind and my conscience has been renewed. Isaiah 10:27. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. The yoke, a yoke of bondage, will be destroyed because of what? The anointing. The anointing. Well, what about the God of this world who's blinded the minds? Wouldn't that be a yoke That's what he's trying to do, is bridle your mind into thinking badly about yourself. He's trying to bridle it in. Hold it there. Make you confused. Make you depressed. Make you nervous. Make you anything he can do to, what? To replicate his own goofy ugliness in your head. Well, that's, you don't want that there, because he's goofy and ugly. Who wants that? But that yoke will be destroyed by what? The anointing will destroy that. Well, that means I need to go to a special meeting. I need to have you lay hands on my head. Well, maybe you do. But I'm going to show you a better way. Is there a better way? Yes, there's a better way. Retaining the knowledge of God. Retaining the word. Is the word anointed, by the way? Is the word more anointed than even me? Is the word more anointed than Pastor so-and-so in such a church with a big membership? Is the word more anointed than some of these great men of God who seem to float and vibrate and glow? Oh, are you kidding me? The word is. The word is God. The word is anointed. And it's more anointed than any. You get the word. This is why God said, retain it in your mind. Retain it in your mind. Because the anointing that's in the word will drive out the yoke. It'll break that yoke of bondage. And there will be a snap. The yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is Jesus talking. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. What is going to break the yoke of bondage? What is going to drive the bees out of your head? What's going to make the depression go away? What's going to make the nervousness go away? What's going to make all the crap go away and all the past and all those things that have just been driving you nuts? What's going to make it go away? The anointing's going to make it go away. It'll go away. It will snap and leave. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to do what? To preach. Now, what do you suppose Jesus preached? He preached the word. So there's an anointing in the word. Does that make you happy? There's an anointing in the word. That makes me happy. Because I know that I can listen to the word. And this is why the Bible says, by the foolishness of preaching, this is God's method. It's foolish. Sit there and listen to somebody. It's foolish. But he chose that method to get his anointing into people and to heal them and to deliver them and to do all of these other things just by hearing the word of God. You hear the word of God enough, something will snap on the inside of you. It'll straighten out your head. It'll straighten out your finances. It'll straighten out your physical body. The key is in hearing the word of God. And there's an anointing on the word. So try to listen to anointed people, though. Because some people will be saying the word and they'll preach this same message in the opposite direction. You can't be delivered. That has passed away. No. And see, this is the thing. Has the word passed away? His word will never pass away. Has the anointing in the word passed away? And we know that in every seed is the ability to reproduce itself. Is that not true? Take a kernel of corn and you plant it in the ground. What comes up? Daffodils. It's magic corn. A beanstalk. What comes up? Corn. Every time. Take the word of God about peace. I'll keep him in peace, perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me. You take those scriptures and you keep it in your mind. You sow it. What's inside that verse of scripture? The peace of God, the perfect peace of God. It will snap in your head. Will it happen overnight? Sometimes. Sometimes not. But what else do you have to do? You're going to do this until it happens. Do it until it happens. Glory be to God forever. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach. We're making progress here, people. Glory be to God forever. John 15, verse 3 says, Now you are clean through... Now you are clean through what? The word which I spoke. How do people, is this just for back then? Or is this word the same today? Is this word still containing the anointing of God to bring itself to pass? Absolutely. Now you are clean through the word which he spoke to me. What are you going to do with that? I would say it. Now I am clean. I'm clean.
You're dirty.
No, I'm clean. My mind has been defiled. My mind has been messed up. No, my mind is clean through the word that he spoke to me. Yeah, but what if it feels confused? What if it still feels ratty? What if it feels like it's shredded all up? How do you know all these things? Been there. What if you feel like, you know, you just can't think straight in your mind? It actually feels like it's moving around in the top of your head. What are you going to say? My mind is clean through the word which he spoke to me. It's the anointing in the word that will break the yoke of bondage. It's by retaining that, enjoying the retention. Retention. But you enjoy it. You enjoy retaining God's word in your mind. And you do it until the other stuff leaves. Jesus is Lord. Now you are clean through what? Soap? Laundry? Dry cleaning? No. Clean through words. Is this possible? Is it possible to have your mind cleansed? What's the method? Words. Words will cleanse your mind. Words will cleanse your body. Jesus spoke words to lepers. They were cleansed by what? The word and the anointing within that word, like a seed. So is the kingdom of God. You plant the seed, it's going to produce after its own kind. You need soundness in your mind? Find scriptures that say that God gives you a sound mind. We've not been given the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Put it on a tape. Put it on cars. Put it in your head and retain it there until, snap, you have what you said. You have what you believe for. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Like I said, some of this stuff is not going to be easy. For some people, this isn't going to be easy. Why? Because they've been trained in the wrong way. Been doing the wrong thing so long, it's going to be like learning to ride a bike again, backwards. Can it be done? Don't tell me it can't be done. It can be done. But you've been riding the bike. You've been riding the bike backwards and you think it's forwards. Now you got to turn around and start riding that thing the right way. Riding what? Riding your mind instead of letting it ride you. Because it's been doing that, just riding you all over the place. You're worthless. You're guilty. No, I'm not. The word says I'm not worthless. I'm full of value that God gave me. And I'm not guilty anymore either. I've done wrong to no man. Words will cleanse your mind. Isaiah 26. And verse 3, hallelujah. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Everybody say perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. He will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him. What does stayed mean? It's fixed. It's fixated.
You seem to have a fixation.
Yes, thank you. I'm fixated on the word. And have you ever heard about like a stay that they put in for like either boats to hold them back or a tent? It's like a spike. And the more pressure you're going to have trying to pull on that thing, the bigger that spike ought to be. You're going to have to stay it in there and pound it in there. Make sure that thing never gets out. That sounds extreme. It is. The Bible's extreme. But this is extreme peace he's talking about. Perfect peace. But only those who walk in the word of God and in the power of God have perfect peace. Is that even possible, Patrick? Try to say all those P's. Perfect peace, possible, Patrick. It must be possible because that's what the word of God says. Is God a liar? Or can we have perfect peace? Are we going to get it if we don't fixate our mind on him, if we don't keep our mind on him, we won't. We're not going to get it out of some other way. You understand that, right? That's why I'm showing you this. You teach a man to fish, you feed him for the rest of his life. You buy him a fish sandwich, he might say thank you. Yeah, how does that go? I don't know. You can do this. You can do this. This is well within your capability. It's your mind. Don't let the devil think he's taking your mind. He doesn't get it. It's like, go get your own mind. I can't. I lost it a long time ago. He is. He's crazy. The devil is nuts. Can you imagine? Just here's God Almighty, all powerful. Did he not know this? All powerful, all knowing. Oh, he won't know I'm coming. He's all knowing. And omniscient, he's everywhere. I'm going to sneak up and try to take over his throne. Not smart. So he's been messed up from the beginning. And he just tries to replicate those kind of stupid thoughts in your head and try to mess you up. Messed up as he is. And he's more messed up than anybody. He's the king of messed up. So we don't follow him, though. He's not our Lord anymore. And now we're going to make Jesus Lord in our heads. That's what we got to do. We got to grab on and retain the knowledge of God and his lordship in our minds and think like him, talk like him, act like him. Is it going to be easy? Not all the time, but it'll get easier the stronger and the better you get at it. Was it easy the first time your father pushed you down the driveway on a bicycle? No, you wobbled and you flipped, but eventually you got it, right? But you figured it out. But it's a matter of training. It's a matter of retaining. And you may fall a few times. You may slip. You may get your knees all scratched up. But what are you going to do? You're going to get back up, aren't you? You're going to get back up. You're going to do it again. The next time you won't fall for the same thing again. You may flip over on the other side, but I'm certainly not falling on my right side. But then you figure out how to not fall on that side. And then pretty soon, you're getting stronger. You're figuring out how to retain that knowledge, that forgiveness, whatever it is that you need to keep that perfect peace in your head. You learn how to retain it and keep it there. Glory be to God forever. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. This is the promise of God. He will do it if you keep your mind on him. He will do it. So don't tell me he won't. He does. If you do your part, he will do his part. Yeah, but that means I just can't go to all the other things. I know, that was the first point. Repent. Turn from the evil stuff. Turn from the stuff that's corrupting your head. Turn from it. And now put your mind on him. Go in that direction. He promises to keep you in perfect peace. I'll read this last one here. Joshua 1:8. Teaching you how to fish. Fish? Yeah, fish for soundness of mind. You want some of those big ones. They're in here. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. Everybody say day and night. Day and night. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Brother, I want to be prosperous. I want to be successful. I want my mind to be sound. I want to be, would you be a success if you didn't have a sound mind? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Well, if it's not departing out of your mouth, where is it? It's in your mouth. The word of God, if it's not departing out of, it's in your mouth. This book of the law won't depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein. The word meditate means to mutter. More than anything else, we think meditation. No, believe me, I'm not telling you to do that day and night. That would be weird. But it is to say it day and night. You need peace in your head. What are you going to say day and night? You're going to say scriptures that pertain to peace in your mind and soundness of mind. Seems like that's all you want to talk about. Yeah, you don't know where I'm at, and this is where I'm going. I'm not going to let it depart out of my mouth. It's in my mouth. The peace of God is in my mouth. Day and night. Does that sound extreme? Did he break in between that somewhere? Stick to the word. Do it day and night. First thing comes out of your mouth in the morning. Last thing that comes out of your mouth before you fall asleep. My God has given me a sound mind. I'm clean through the word which he spoke unto me. The peace of God which passes all understanding rules in my heart and in my mind. Sounds extreme, brother. I know. What do you want? You got to come to the place where you are tired of whatever that thing is that's plaguing you. And you're going to retain God's knowledge, God's words. You're going to retain it. You're not going to let it go. And you're going to cast down everything else. This book of the law will not depart out of your mouth, but you're going to meditate. You're going to mutter it day and night that you may observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Rugged individualism, people. This is not the entitlement program that you came to. Rugged individualism. God put within his book an anointing and everything you need to put you over in life. But how many people do you know doing this? Here's Joshua. He prayed a prayer. He said, God, help me. You put me in charge of all these crazy, whining, complaining people? We've been walking out in a circle with these people for 40 years. And you put me in charge and you tell me to take them and go over? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? This is what he told him. If you will put my word in your mouth and you'll not let it out, but you'll observe. See how? Observe to do all that's written therein. You will be prosperous and successful. It's the only place in the Bible where the word success is. This is God's key. It'll work everywhere. Work in your head. Work in your finances. Work in your church. Work in your family. You can do it. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. You will meditate in it and you will be successful. Meditating it is saying it. Find those scriptures. Maybe in this series I'll look them up and I'll stick them in there in the front. These are good soundness of mind scriptures. And just say them. Say them. Say them. Well, I don't believe it. It's certainly not feeling like it. I didn't say that. Did he say that? And then you shall feel like you are successful. No, I don't know if he ever thought he was successful, but at that point, it doesn't matter. You're doing what God said. You're retaining his word in your mind. It's cleaning it right now. God's word is cleaning my mind right now, whether I feel like it or not. It's scrubbing on it. God's word is cleaning my mind. I would imagine if you could go into like a monkey brain or something and poke your finger in there, you can make his leg go up or his arm stick out. So you got some scrubbing going on. It might make you feel weird. Tough. You ever have like a scratch or something on you? A wound? What's your mother do? Come here. Let me get the borax soap out. I got to scrub the dirt out of there. No, anything but that. Let it rot and fall off. No. I'm going to scrub this thing. And does it feel good? No. Was it good? Did your mom know what she was talking about? Sometimes. Sometimes they don't. Let me spray Windex on it. That'll fix it. Oh, goodness. But sometimes what's good for you doesn't always feel so good. Sometimes when you're in a financial situation, confessing the word over that, you don't want to. You just want to go to bed and cry. What if you're, fighting off the flu or something? The last thing you want to do is say, by his stripes, I'm healed. What you want to do is have your wife make a chicken noodle soup and go put you in bed. Put some Vicks on your chest or something. But the last thing you want to do is stand right there in the devil's face and tell him, I don't think so. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. Get off my body. By his stripes, I'm healed. Get off my body. You're going to have to do the same thing with your head, with your mind. You're going to have to kick him out. It's your mind. Quit letting those other people in there. Yeah, but it's a party. They're having a party in my head. I know. Kick him out. It's your head. You going to do that? Let the neighbor kids come in and hold a party in your house? I don't think so. My house, get out. My head, out. Out. What's going to drive them out? By filling it with the word. They won't want to stay there. Neighbor kids are in there. Boom, chicka, boom, chicka, boom. You come in, put some Copeland on. Yeah. We'll put some praise music on. Pretty soon they'll be like, this party's over. We'll clean them out with the word of God. Tell you, they won't stay around too long. How did Jesus drive the devil out of his head? Come on, people. How did Jesus do it? Oh, well, no, he had the apostles come and lay hands on him. Nobody was up there. It was Jesus and the devil trying to get in his head and mess with him. Try to get him to kill himself, throw himself off the cliff, do all these weird things. Tempted him. What did he say? It is written. It is written. What was he doing? He's retaining the word. He's holding on to the word, sticking it in his own head. I'm not in your head, but you are. You have the authority over your head, not the devil. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word. I thank you that we have the opportunity to partake of the anointing in your word. I ask that this anointing would solidify in people, solidify in the hearer, that they may hear the word, that the snap may take place, that they may be free from things that have bound them for years, that their mind would break free by the anointing in the word of God. Let them hear and be set free in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory be to God forever.
When shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord? Then shall we grow as we sow and reap from Him.
This message has been brought to you free of charge by the Metropolitan Holy Ghost Society. More messages are available online at www.holyghostsociety.org.